I'm Bob Boylan with this Plus One podcast from All Songs Considered. It's been about 6 years since First Aid Kit knocked me out with their performance at the Tiny Desk.
I'll be your Emmylou and I'll be your June if you'll be my Graham and my Johnny too. No, I'm not asking much of you. Just sing, little darling, sing with me.
The two Swedish sisters, Clara and Johanna Soderberg, make remarkable American country-flavored music. Their latest songs can be found on their album Ruins. That record includes performances by members of Wilco and R.E.M., and it's produced by Tucker Martine, and his participation helps broaden and empower their sound. I'm always fascinated by the way American culture takes hold in other countries, and these two sisters embody that notion, showing very little of their own traditions in music that's so close to their hearts. So I was curious about the music they hear back home, and so I asked Clara and Johanna to come to NPR with a list of Swedish songs they wanted to share. And so today, First Aid Kit, play DJ. So people get the sounds of your voice. Clara, say hello.
Hello.
Johanna.
Hello.
What accent was that exactly?
I don't know.
That's probably not the way that you'd say hello or I'd say hello.
Naturally. But when you put a mic in front of me...
It had very East Coast sound.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Hello.
Do you actually hear people's accents? Do you notice them when you travel around the country?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but not as clearly as an American would, I think.
No. Like, no, I don't think so. But I think you learn. I mean, I remember when I lived in England, I started hearing the accents more and more longer I lived there.
But they're more evident there.
Yeah, but I'm really fascinated by accents.
Oh, here's something you can do for me. Speak an accent in a Swedish accent for me, like someone who lives in the south and then maybe someone who lives in the
in
north.
In English or in Swedish?
No, in Swedish. Swedish.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You can do that, Clara.
Oh, my God.
Do the south first.
No, yeah. Ja, jag kommer från Skåne och då pratar man lite så här. Då har man lite såna ljud och man är, man skorrar sina är.
Very nasal, kind of.
And you got the R's. Oh. Yeah. I don't,
and
I'm not
north,
very good
thing.
With the up north, well, but I can.
Norwegian you can do.
Oh, yeah, I can do the Norwegian, but that's a different
Well, it's
language.
Sort of north.
Yeah, but I can't do the
north. Okay, we'll do it.
Ja, då snackar man lite så här. Man är väl god och glad och går upp på när man snackar.
Oh, no, I feel like...
Have you just insulted somebody?
Yes, probably. No, I mean, yeah, it's fun, though. But I really, really like accents, always have since I was a kid, which is really fun. But
well, the one thing listening to your music that is bizarre is there are, for an American, I wouldn't know that you weren't from, I don't know, I mean, just somewhere, anywhere in America.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
That's where we say we're from. Someone, like, thinks we're American.
And, and that's your Connor love, Connor Oberst love and more.
Yeah. I mean, and we've spent time there, so I can, like...
You can name a few.
I can be like, well, yeah, I'm from there. And
I grew up
like,
in Dundee. Yeah. Like, you could, like, make up a story.
Yeah.
I'm going to play some music that you brought. Today we're going to try and play some music that I and I'm guessing much of our audience doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also going to play some stuff from your new record. I'm going to just start off with, you sent me a list, so that's not random.
Say you ain't the one to jump in our relation, and I don't mind, but when we touch it's elevation. Up, 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 up. Up, 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 up. You speak my lingo, we don't need no translation. I never need a break, cause we feel like vacation. Up, 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 up.
You wanna sing along?
Got me up, 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 up.
Go ahead and feel what you feel. Sweater that you love, cause you can't get enough when you say my name.
Tell me who we're listening to. And
That's Tove Styrke. I don't know how you say it in English.
Tove
Styrke?
Styrke?
I don't know.
Styrke?
Yeah.
I don't know how you say it.
It looks like the word strike, but the R and the Y are reversed. Yes. So it's
yeah, it's like yeah. Tove Lo. People yeah. have a hard time with that too, because it's Tove Lo.
Tove Lo and Tove Styrke. Yeah. yeah.
And tell me all about what you know and when did this song come out? The song is.
I think
is,
it came out.
I'll say my name is the name.
Yeah, it's yes. pretty new.
2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah, last
okay.
year.
Last year.
It's pretty
okay.
new.
Oh.
Joshua, our intern, yeah. both was singing along with it.
We
and
have a fan.
We have a fan in the room.
Yeah.
No, she's great. She was in like Swedish Idol, like yeah. our version of American
but
Idol.
But that was.
Way back, yeah. And now she's doing her own thing.
Yeah.
And I think this song was written by Björn Yttling, who wrote oh, songs yeah. with Licky Lee.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Robin too. I don't know.
Who is a member of Peter, Björn, and John.
Yeah. Very, oh, no. very talented yeah. producer
yes.
and songwriter. I think
we
it has his signature sort of. It's very catchy.
About
I love that song.
No, that song.
yeah.
Yeah. No, I really like this song. I think she has a really. There's a great. Attitude in
yeah,
in
she's
this
got
song.
A lot of attitude.
Yeah,
paint me a picture. Like if I'm in Sweden, mm-hmm. could I turn on the radio and what is the mix of things you would hear? Let's say on a station that would play this song.
Yeah, you definitely hear this
yeah.
on like the our like kind of pop radio,
yeah.
like our national like
yeah.
public radio. We have a pop station there.
Yeah,
they play this a what lot of like in this vein, kind of.
Yeah. A lot of Swedish hip hop now too is getting really big.
Yeah,
can you
really
play
cool.
me some of that?
Yeah, I think we have
on
our list.
Swedish yeah
that we
one
love.
Of our favorite Swedish artist who's called Erik Lundin, and it's a song called Swedy.
Great, let's hear.
Yeah.
The smiles in this room are just infectious.
I just love this song so much.
Catcha på det mesta. Tre boy, jag fick en droppe mjölk gästa. Estrella var fiesta. Minns det än idag, Svenne barn. Björnes magasin och Pippi Långstrump. Innan John Blund flyttade från Rinkeby 5 år gammal. Det bäst när jag åker hem fick mamma höra utav grannar. Västerort, första luften som jag inandats. Ändå sas det att jag invandrat. När vuxna kollar snett kände bara skam. Och fick höra ordet neger som det var mitt förnamn. Jag var andra generationen. Kände tonen på lektionen. I bussen på vägen till stationen. Trivdes bäst i orden.
What did that line mean? Because it made
no,
you laugh.
I'm just laughing because I'm trying to like rap along.
yeah.
So when I looked up Erik Lundin,
yeah.
The first thing I came up with is that he's a world famous chess player, which I am assuming is a different Erik
Lundin. I think that's not the same. That would be incredible.
Yeah,
if that was the case.
He's a Swedish rapper born in 1982 now that I see this.
Yes. And he's also made music in English, and I cannot remember his name.
But he recently switched to Swedish.
Yeah.
And his lyrics are insane.
He's one of the best lyric writers that I've ever just heard of.
They're incredibly clever and funny and political. This is a very political song.
Can you tell me, so this song is called Swedy.
Swedy, yeah.
Thank you. And what, can you get the gist of where?
Sure. So in this song, he's talking about his childhood, growing up as a child of immigrant parents. It's about identity and sort of trying to figure out who you are. And
do we know where he's from when we see immigrant parents?
So his dad's from Gambia and his mother is Swedish, I
mm-hmm.
think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting song. I mean, I don't know. I think in Sweden, there's a very racist party that's getting a lot of
mm-hmm.
votes.
The Swedish Democrats.
There's an election coming up in September, and it's just really frightening. And the song is him not wanting to be Swedish and wanting to be something else when he's in Sweden. And then he goes, I think, to Gambia, and then mm-hmm. he's called. They introduce him to someone as Swedish, and he goes, oh, but I'm not. I'm from here. So it's sort of this, like, mm-hmm. he's not really from
anywhere,
yeah, that kind of feeling of, and then it's just sort of accepting the fact that he is Swedish, but also
and all
not
like the silly things that come with that, like
yeah.
Swedish traditions and
yeah.
things like that.
Like what?
Oh, well,
he starts with, like, I had ketchup on everything. That's the first line.
Yeah.
you all do that a lot?
Yeah.
We don't, but,
no, but
most Swedes do.
For sure.
It's a stereotype.
Yeah, but it's a really interesting song.
Let me listen a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe you can, as it's playing, you don't have to word for word, but give me an idea.
Okay, yeah, so he's saying that he's talking about how, like, we have all these problems with immigration and we don't talk about it, and how, like, really educated people come to Sweden and become taxi drivers because they can't get a good job because of their names and their background.
I feel like in America it's maybe a little easier. I feel like in Sweden it's extremely difficult if you have a name.
Well,
like,
not completely, though. Many times taxi drivers are a good example. In Washington, D.C., you'd find incredibly brilliant people behind the wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always the case. It's like, hey, what did you do before you before you came to Sweden? It's like, oh, I was a doctor or I was an engineer. Or like, we've got some serious issues, but I think the way to go about it is not to segregate people
Sweden
think of people as the other.
Segregated. Yeah. Stockholm is extremely segregated as well. It's very white in the city.
Yeah.
Even in the workplace?
I would say so.
And it's
more
terrible.
So than here. That's what I feel like in general. Like,
I think in Sweden, there's been this thing about, like, I feel like here, when you talk about, like, people are like, I'm from here. Like, they're very proud of where they're from, their ancestry. Mm-hmm. But in Sweden, it's sort of, you don't talk about it. Or, like, it's sort of supposed to, like, fit into this Swedish society. And it's, I don't know. I just, for us personally, I think we both think multiculturalism is a wonderful thing. And it just brings people together, and it's nothing to be scared of, but so many people are so scared and have this, like, idea of, like, what is pure and Swedish, and it's just
it's ridiculous.
Do you ever write about that in your songs?
No, we haven't. No. It became very political, but no, not really, we haven't. I think it's hard as well being someone who does have, like, I mean,
so privileged.
And our family, if you go way back to, like, the 1600s, our family came from Belgium, which isn't that, like, exotic. But so I think it's hard for us to be, like,
well, it's for, like, we're entitled to talk about it, like, in the same way.
So it's more like, listen to this guy and hear what he has to say about it. And
is there any sort of tradition in Sweden for music that is political? I always hear Swedish music from the little tiny window I get, and it's very, very poppy, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a protest thread at all, or things that you heard growing up?
Yeah, I think there is. A lot in the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of protest music coming out.
Yeah.
Like progressive, like hippie music.
Now, here we were protesting very specific things, wars and so forth. What would be the things that would rally people?
A lot about poverty and class,
I see.
I think, in Sweden.
Do you have a song you want to play that fits any of that?
I mean, it sort of does. It's called Somliga går med trasiga skor, which means some people walk with
tattered shoes.
Broken shoes.
Yeah.
And this is by?
It's by Cornelis Resvik. I don't know.
It's a Dutch name, isn't it?
Yeah, he moved to Sweden when he was 12.
Yeah.
And he made music
in the 60s and 70s, And then he passed away late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He's very tragic, alcoholic, and, you know,
self-inflicted. Somewhat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hear it. I'm not going to pronounce it.
Okay.
I apologize.
Somliga går med trasiga skor. Säg, vad beror det på? Gud fader som i himmelen bor kanske vill ha det så. Gud fader som i himmelen bor blundar och sover sött han. Vem bryr sig om ett par trasiga skor när man är gammal och trött? Vem bryr sig om hur nätterna går? De bryr vandrar som de vill, medborgare om 100 år. finns du ej längre till.
This is a, I've never heard this version. It's a live version.
Really fascinating. It's like an upright bass.
Yeah.
He's like a micron from the microphone.
Yeah.
what is he saying?
So some people walk with like tattered shoes. Why? Why is that?
Yeah.
Maybe God up in heaven wants it that way.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's, oh man, it's hard to like,
trying to translate, remember?
Yeah, trying to like summarize this brilliant song into a few sentences. But I mean, there's some really amazing parts of this song. It's very dark.
Yeah.
And it's saying like, one day you'll be gone and someone else will take your place. And that's just the way it goes. And mm-hmm. some people are just here and are having a really, really rough time. And
no one cares, basically.
Yeah.
We were always singing this song as kids. Like, or yeah. this is like something you learn in school.
Yeah.
Wow. So for you, singing mm-hmm. it, how would you sing it? Can you do that? Okay. Just a little. Just
to get
a somliga sense går med trasiga skor. Säg vad beror det på? Gud fader som i himmelen bor. Kanske vill ha det så.
Like that, I guess.
And what did
that was, yeah, the first verse.
The first verse of it.
You probably had no idea how dark it is, but that's true of so many things we learn as kids.
I know. Yeah. Like, and you go back and you're like, wow, did my parents play me that yeah. song?
And yeah. he's saying like, I'm happy as long as I get to hide my face in my lover's hair or something like that. It's like, yeah, I mean, I think everyone can sort of relate to that. I mean, mm-hmm. I think there's so many things. So I'm just getting dark here, but I mean, the song calls for it. Just there's so many things you have to ignore about the world. Just
to
get up
to
in
live.
The morning.
Yeah,
and,
you have to be very optimistic.
Yeah.
And naive.
Yeah. And it's sort of talking about that.
I want to talk about, you just sang for me something that was mm-hmm. an influence on you. I want to just talk mm-hmm. about the things that influence your music. I want to play the opening track to the new record and we can talk
Great.
About...
Told me once I have a rebel heart. I don't know if that's true, but I believe you saw something in me that lives inside you too. Now all I
makes me right.
It was many years ago that you did a Tiny Desk concert.
Mm-hmm.
I met your dad. He was
yes.
traveling with you. And we got to talking about music because I think we're more the same age or close. And,
mm-hmm.
and his love for television and the Ramones
yes.
and television, the band, and the Ramones and more punky stuff.
Yes.
What was it like growing up? He's a musician. What was it like growing up around the house? Because this influence is not that influence, right? The ones I spoke to. What are the... That's a much rockier side than the
mm-hmm.
side that you wound up going. So what are the things that got you singing, particularly what sounds like very American
mm-hmm.
Songs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we get there?
Yeah, I mean, our parents didn't listen to country at all. That wasn't their thing. I think they grew up, and that was the music that their parents listened to.
Yeah.
So they thought that
they
it was silly.
Yeah.
I mean, a little cheesy. Like, I mean, our mom was like, cool punk in the 80s and like Bob Dylan was doing
yeah.
like Christian, you know, like that. It just wasn't her,
right.
her vibe at the time. So we grew up with, I mean, yeah, like Patti Smith and television
mm-hmm.
and
I think we loved that, but as teenagers, like when we formed the band,
yeah.
we didn't want to do what our parents did, so we
yeah
we did our own little research and found country and folk
yeah.
online.
Mm-hmm.
With what music would you think if you...
Started with Bright Eyes.
Yeah.
Then going from Bright Eyes to, like, Carter Family, Louvin Brothers.
Wow, so slow down 1 second. So
yeah.
what period Bright Eyes are we talking about?
We're talking,
this was 2005,
I'm
so
wide
it was
awake
just
morning.
When
oh.
I'm Wide Awake
yeah.
and Digital Ash and A Digital Urn had come out. But the I'm Wide Awake record was, for me, it was just this, like, I just heard one song and I was just like, all right. Well, this is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to get an acoustic guitar. I'm going to start writing songs. And then it turned into almost like a project of just like starting to like dig and find.
Could it have been
songs.
One of these songs,
mm-hmm.
maybe?
Yeah.
I'm going to play a little. Sing along if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm changing all my strings. I'm gonna write another traveling song. About all the billion highways and the cities at the break of dawn. Well, I guess the best that I can do now is pretend that I've done nothing wrong. And a dream about a train that's gonna take me back where I belong. Well, now the ocean speaks and spits.
So
and
who
I
played, I'm sorry, I broke up the singing party.
Oh, no, no.
Who turned you on to Bright Eyes? Where'd that
come from? Oh, it was this guy I had a crush on when I was 12, yeah.
Because, yeah.
He was a little older or just
no.
any more
it was like
music?
No.
I mean, it was the emo thing.
Yeah.
And Bright Eyes was seen as an emo band.
Yeah.
Because
well, even in 2005, I'm just going to stop you, just
yeah,
in 2005,
yeah.
even in America,
yeah.
He is still littler known. I mean, the
yeah.
clubs that he'd be playing in were smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Although, 2000... About this time, this is like the beginning of the breakout.
Yeah.
This actually our very first live concert from the 930 Club that we broadcast
mm-hmm.
was Bright Eyes and was for this record and the
yeah,
Digital
yeah.
Ash record. So it was,
yeah.
it was the beginning of a breakout. But to get over there to, was it the radio? Do you know any idea how this guy found it?
Oh, no.
No
I think
idea.
It was
yeah.
just cool.
Yeah.
And seen as cool.
Well, I remember I listened to Green Day and I told him that and he said, no, you should listen to Bright Eyes. And I was like, oh, okay.
Where is he now? That's
I don't
good.
Know.
We should thank
I don't
him.
Know.
Yeah.
I think I have before.
We'll do it again.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But he, what do you say? The feelings weren't mutual. So I was very heartbroken. But I did gain
yeah.
a lot from it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's okay. I'm over it.
how many years later?
10
years
later.
Years later yeah.
10 years.
No, a dozen.
More.
Yeah.
15. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, let's stop thinking about that. Time. We were listening to your song, and this one was recorded in America. Is that the first one you did that way, or have you done You recorded this in Portland with...
Yes.
Yes.
No, the previous two we recorded in Omaha, Nebraska with Mike Mogis, who produced I'm Wide Awake It's Morning and yes. all the Bright Eyes stuff.
We went full circle there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was huge for us.
Such an honor.
And this record you recorded in Portland with
yes.
Tucker Martine. How did Tucker Martine, for those who don't know, is you would know him from so many things. Decembrists would be one. Laura Veers is his wife, and they were he produces her records.
Nico Case,
huge list.
My Morning Jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, he's someone that we've been in contact with for many years. He was the first producer to ever reach out to us
in 2010. I think.
And he wrote us, and
we saw him when we played in Portland.
Yes.
And we told him that one day we'd work together, and we kept the promise.
Yeah, and we kept following his career and listening to all the records he were making, and it was just like, oh my God, we got to work with this guy at some point. And this felt like the right time. Like we loved everything that we'd done with Mike, and just felt like, okay, well, that's the only producer that we've ever worked with on a record. And so we thought, well, let's try someone else just to see what it feels like. And yeah, made this record together.
For people who don't know, who've never been in a studio, have never recorded, what does a producer help you do? And let's get real specific with Tucker. What did Tucker bring out of you that, you know?
Well, he had a different approach than Mike Mogis. With Mike, it was more me, Clara, and our dad, who plays bass on the records and goes with us everywhere. He's our sound engineer. It was kind of Mike, me, Clara, and dad in the studio sort of alone, trying to figure out the arrangements on our own. And Tucker had a different approach. He just wanted more collaborative, where he invited more musicians, local musicians, to play on the songs. And it was very, like, spontaneous.
Yeah.
I got this session band put together for us.
Yeah. I feel like in a lot of ways, like, he was sort of bringing focus, like, to, or, like, making sure that we were doing what we were supposed to. And, like, so he would just tell us to just play, because we'd never played these songs with the session band. So, like, we'd come in and, like, talk about the song. Okay, here's what we're thinking. Play it. And then eventually Tucker would say, okay, now we're getting somewhere, you know. And then he'd record, and then we'd record and record and record and record it. And then
his job is sort of to know when it's good, like what take is good and what sound to put where, that kind of a thing.
Because
it's really
tried
hard
a lot.
For us when you're in the songs to be on top of things. You get kind of lost easily.
Yeah, and he tried a lot of stuff. Like, he had tried endless things, and to just then have all of that and then make it into a song and choose what goes in and what doesn't is, it's a big
job. It's insane. Like,
I
couldn't do it. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Piecing puzzles.
Yeah, it's
together.
A huge puzzle.
He was also just like a mood manager. Just like keeping everyone like happy and
motivated. Because we play, I mean, we really worked hard. Like, we did like 13 or 14 hours a day just tracking the songs over and over again. And when you've done the same song like 25 times, you know.
You can't know.
Yeah. So his job was just to, make us excited and crack the whip.
A little bit.
Don't play this.
To think I lost myself. Children, then and forever locked in a memory, holding that mirror, searching for some kind of certainty that you were just the same as everyone.
You guys are over there laughing.
Yeah,
are you reminiscing?
We play this so much slower live. And I was just
I like it slower.
Clara wants everything to be slower, and I want everything to be in the studio as well. I'm like, can we turn this up a few?
all right. I like it the way we play it live, but I like this too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pick me a song that you feel is more, that wouldn't have happened without Tucker to illustrate the point of you of him bringing in other musicians.
I'm trying to think.
It's a shame.
It's a shame, yeah. Like, I mean, the drums on that one.
I mean, that's a song where we came into the studio and we kind of didn't know what to do with it.
things that won't be here tomorrow. But you and I, well, we don't need to speak. It's a secret that we keep out of you and out of sight. Just say when and we'll say good.
This is a big band, obviously.
Yeah.
This must be some Portland folks. And
yes.
And
I started smiling now because I heard the Melvin. Pedal steel part.
Yeah.
And our pedal steel player, Melvin Duffy, who plays. We finally had him on the rack because we've been touring with him for a long time. Huh. And now we were like, we have to have him
out
on the album.
From Brighton.
From England.
From the UK, yeah. To come and play. And it was so, so amazing. I mean, we hadn't really planned for him to play on that many songs, but then he just started playing and it was just so good.
And he and Tucker were just bonded instantly.
Oh, that's great. And what's his name? Melvin Duffy. Melvin Duffy.
Yeah, he is one of the best pedal steel players in the world. And
yeah.
We're so lucky to have him.
He's a legend.
He's kind of become more and more important for our sound
as
we've toured with him. He has a very special style.
And the rest of the band came together sort of because of what Tucker brought to the
table.
Yeah,
exactly. So then we had Steve Moore, who plays keyboards on this record. He is now part of our band.
Our live band.
On tour.
We stole him from Tucker.
Because we just loved him so much. And he just knew it, the same way that Melvin does. You know, he just plays exactly what you want and without even talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just knows. And
then we had Eli Moore, also a local... guy
who plays guitar on I think
everything,
and also just I was listening to that now and just like the little
ding 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 ding
ding, ding.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, that's Eli.
And then we have our dad who plays bass on this, and I think Peter Bruck from REM
plays electric guitar on this as well,
and Glenn Coche on drums.
Yeah.
Wow. So you.
I mean, what a band.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
Wilco. You got REM.
I know.
Yeah.
And I remember coming into the studio with a song. We really didn't know what to do with it. Like it was just we loved it and we felt like this could be a big song, but we have no clue.
To me, it was sort of this like Joan Baez like folk song.
Yeah.
Like that was how I just.
But it could easily like go into like cheesy territory as well. So it was a very thin line trying to figure out how to perform it. And I know Tucker had the idea for the drums instantly. Like he.
They're gallopy.
The gallopy drums.
Yeah,
exactly.
I feel like there's an energy in the song that we haven't had on a previous song.
No, not really. Like
that
a bouncy
I really liked.
Sort of feeling, poppy feeling.
Like
that
we were
really
listening
wanted.
A lot to like Rumors by Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah,
and,
secondhand news.
We wanted that. I mean, it's not the same, but it's just that kind of feeling of
the drive.
Just, yeah.
Boom,
yeah.
Boom. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Let's listen to just a little bit of that gallopy stuff going on there.
Sometimes the night cuts through me like a knife. I know it's a shame. I know it's a shame. I know it's a shame.
Oh, it's one of those moments where I wish you could just everybody be in the room.
Well, we did some choreography from our music video, so we had a lot of fun making that.
Let's go back and play a couple more cuts of Swedish music.
Yeah. Sure.
Big smiles.
Ja, nu var Evas hjärta slogas. Han var solen när det dagas. Han var parken när det våras. Låta det explodera i skyn. Det är svårt.
svårt att inte gråta när jag tänker på oss två nu.
Okay, so the best I get here is that it looks like it's called A Midsummer Night's Dream, but
yes, correct.
So to say it correct. in Swedish.
En midsommarnattsdröm.
Okay, so yeah. And who was that? And what is he singing about?
Håkan Hellström. He's like, Swedish's biggest artist.
Yeah,
he's like our Bruce Springsteen or Bob Dylan. Whoa.
Yeah,
basically.
He's a younger, yeah. younger. I mean, yeah, he's in his 40s.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he's a little younger. He's for us, like growing up, he was like everyone of my
friends.
This
is what everyone listens to, like everyone.
Wow.
Like all our friends. This is like the music of youth and like summer. This is what we listen to when partying, when getting drunk.
Yeah.
This
is, I mean, anytime.
Anytime, but especially.
And it also makes you cry.
Music of celebration.
Like but it's beautiful. He's such an incredible writer, this guy.
I wish you knew Swedish, so
I don't know.
But it's hard to translate.
The song, oh man, how do I?
It's so personal.
Yeah,
it's like the a story of his friends, sort of, and his crushes. I mean, it's really hard to.
It really is.
Describe.
You were this. Oh wait, you were the sunshine, and I was alone. Which doesn't
sound very profound in English.
It doesn't, but it really.
His songs just don't translate.
And he's got this like his voice isn't perfect, which is kind of. Just makes it even better. There's something very touching. I mean, it's the same kind of thing with Conor Oberst, you know, that kind of like
it broken
feels,
voice.
Yeah, it feels even more like urgent and real because it's not like perfect.
And we really, I mean, we'd love to write songs in Swedish. We just don't feel like we have the gift.
No. It takes a lot of like finesse. Like
it feels very private and yeah, like too naked.
Yeah.
But he knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And he's so authentic, and you feel so much when you listen to him. Yeah. And I wish that we knew the secret. I guess we should hang out with him. And
I was
going
to say, it sounds to me like you ought to just do a song together.
Yeah. Well, we sang with him. We sang this song with him, actually. It was crazy because
he plays
huge arenas. And so he invited us last summer to sing with him, and we sang this song. And it was like one of like my first moment where, like, you know, people are like young kids are like reaching out their hands and you like grab their hands and you like sing
we
to them and I was
like
oh my god,
like, I don't know what you call it,
I'm
but
a rock star.
Like the walk what do you call it, like when you can walk out into the crowd and I don't know, I was just insane.
Never had that.
And have like fireworks on stage, like
it was crazy. it was so crazy. And
that's just his name again,
Håkan Hellström.
Yeah, I know. He's huge in Sweden.
He's huge, yeah.
Well, let's go out on this, huh? Should we just do it? You wanna sing us out?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this today. Thank you.
Great.
First Aid Kit sisters Clara and Johanna Soderberg, their new album on Columbia Records is called Ruins. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.